I think Laura's little boy probably could good the sermon this morning. In fact, he's dressed in black just like I am. This was advertised as Wisdom Sunday. I hope we don't get arrested for false advertising. This morning I feel a little bit like Paul writing to the Corinthians when he said, "I come to you in weakness, fear, with much trembling. My message was not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We do, however, speak wisdom among the mature." And Lord knows our service this morning is run by the mature. Wisdom, the dictionary says, is knowledge practically applied to the best end. And wise, it says, judging correctly from past experiences directed by wisdom. How many of you have taken a look at your life's history at this point and see where God may have been in effect on your life? Last Sunday, Rich Lawley did this and gave his testimony as to how his life was changed and credited the persons and his relationship with Christ that helped him along the way. I did this a while back and was really surprised to find that Matthew 28:20 was really a revelation to me. God has always been with me, whether we realize it or not. I should say with us, because it's not only me, it's with all of you. In my early years, God must have been answering a Christian mother's prayers that carried me. My mother prayed often, as our family was not what you would call a functional family, as my dad was a heavy drinker, and in those depression years, things were tough. And to make things even tougher, I was born smack dab in the middle of the Depression in 1930. Perhaps that was what drove my dad to drink, I don't know. Only kidding, he had the problem before I came along. At age 5 or 6, my best friend Don and I decided to cut some wood. We lived in a semi-rural area on about 10 acres, covered with small saplings. I had a hatchet, and we smuggled my dad's big axe out of the garage, and we managed to get too close to each other when we were cutting. I was kneeling down cutting with the little hatchet, and Don swung at a tree, missed with the axe, and hit me in the head. I know some of you are going to say, "So that's what's wrong with him." My reason for mentioning this is my friend, fortunate for me, did not panic. For I couldn't see. I had blood running down my face into my eyes. I couldn't tell which way the house was. We had about 500 yards to walk. And my mother didn't panic either. So we came into the kitchen, and I don't know whether she screamed or not. I can't remember, but I must have been a great sight. And she wrapped a wet towel around my head, and we made the fastest trip to town to the doctor's office, where I received 10 stitches. God was with me. At age 12, I accepted Christ as my Savior at a YMCA camp in Swansea Lake near Keene, New Hampshire. Even though I felt led by Christ at times, my actions were not indicative of a Christian disciple. At 17, I enlisted in the Navy for 3 years, ended up doing an extra year for Harry as the Korean War was on. The Navy taught me about electricity, and that became my lifelong occupation. One November night, our aircraft carrier, the USS Midway, was anchored off Istanbul, Turkey, in the Dardanelles Straits, which is the body of water between the Black and Mediterranean Seas. About 10:30 at night, I had a call to my duty station, which was the electric shop, from the officer of the deck, ordering me to repair running lights on one of the Liberty launches. How many of you ex-Navy men have ridden in one of these boats? Any ex-Navy men here? a few. These are a 60-foot-long wooden boat used to take the crew to shore for rest and recreation. I loaded my foul weather jacket with tools, headed for the boat boom, which is like a telephone pole sticking outside the ship with lines going off it feeding down to the bow of these wooden boats. And they're about 10 to 15 feet away. Normally, you can climb down the rope ladder, wrap your leg around the 2-inch line which is tied to the boat, and pull the boat to you and jump in. I tried this for about 15 or 20 minutes, but the Dardanelle current was so strong, I couldn't even get the boat near me. I had seen the boat crew shimmy down this 2-inch line and climb into the boat that way, so I tried that approach. The next thing I knew, I was shoulder deep in water, and the bow of the boat was 6 feet above me, and needless to say, I was scared. I didn't realize I had exhausted all my strength on the rope ladder and didn't have enough to climb back up that 2-inch line that I was hanging onto. I thought, if I let go of that rope and swam, sure enough, the guy, the watch on the back of the ship, the fantail as we call it, would be asleep and would not hear me holler. There was another ship anchored about a quarter of a mile from us, and my chance of hitting that was nil. I was getting colder by the minute and made one of those quick prayers. Lord, my strength is gone. I need your strength to enter my body to save my life and get me back on that ship. God's Holy Spirit gave me that strength. When I got back aboard the ship, I was shaking like a leaf. I think I was close to hypothermia, but maybe it was God's Spirit within me shaking me up. I am here today to say amen to Paul's note in Romans 12:13. For those who call upon the Lord will be saved. And I'm here today to say that I was. Thanks be to God. After moving to Thousand Oaks from Connecticut in 1956, one of my first jobs in this church was teaching Sunday school class of high school youth. One of the lessons we had at that time, was on abstinence. You see, in those days, the church was against alcohol consumption by church members and taught that in the school curriculum. My, how times have changed. Well, I was teaching the kids one thing and doing something different. My Christian conscience, or God, said that was not right, so I quit alcohol completely. This was hard for a salesperson, although I found most people I called on respected my decision. The most interesting result of that decision was when attending national sales meetings, my peers with whom I used to drink with and being only sober one there, was to observe how people's personality and actions change as the amount of alcohol increases. Based on my family history, an alcoholic father and brother, it is a decision that I'm glad God gave me the courage to commit to. As many of you know, I, along with four members of this church, and 18 members of the Christian churches in the Canale Valley are serving our Lord as members of Gideon's International. We serve by acquiring funds for scriptures, which are distributed to local schools in 192 countries in the world. What a blessing this has been to me for the past 35 years. Excuse me a minute. A long-winded orator once said, when I get through my speech, there's usually a great awakening. That can be taken several ways. Well, I'm not through yet, so you can snooze a little longer. Lately, I have included the Lord's Prayer as part of my normal prayer routine and have really thought about what it means to me. Let's take a look at it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We acknowledge a holy Father and praise his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. As a nation, as individual Christian members of the church, Christ's body, we need to work on that one. Give us today our daily bread. Most of us are not hungry, for we have plenty to eat. I wonder if Christ was referring to the need for spiritual food, the bread of life that he refers to in his teachings. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As God is able to forgive us through his grace, then we should be willing and able to forgive those who have done us wrong. It is easy to say, but hard to do. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ knows our humanity. We are tempted frequently to tell a lie, to cheat on a test, to give a wrong change, to commit adultery. Boy, have we had plenty of that in high places of late. The temptations are there for all of us, and we need to ask God to deliver us from thinking and doing evil things. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The power given to us, to his disciples at Pentecost, is available to us through the Holy Spirit in this life and beyond. So many times when we say a repetitive prayer, we do not take time to really consider what the real meaning would be for us to ponder. I used to call these canned prayers. It's like, I remember one time going to the Episcopal Church, and it seemed like the whole service was canned prayers. And I just don't go with those because I like to speak to God from my heart. So many times, the repetitive prayer, we just repeat it without feeling it. Christ knew our humanness when he suggested this prayer to recite. What does it mean to us? How can we help his kingdom on earth, our country, our community, and our homes? Let us now thoughtfully repeat the Lord's Prayer. If you will join with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.